Welcome to Unstacking the Datatari, where we're on the road to Wembley 1981 and 18 million viewers for Big Daddy versus Giant Haystacks. This week, it's a review of the first season, so 1975 to 1978.
When I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, what will I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? Here's what she said to me.
The main events at the Wembley Arena, we will be seeing Giant Haystacks versus Big Daddy. What will you be doing to Big Daddy?
Well, Kent, I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do to him. I'm going to show you what I'm going to do to him.
The time has come. No tag matches. When Haystacks and Daddy clash on the mat. In the ring. Easy. We shall not be moved because we are not finished yet.
So how are you this week, Dan?
I'm not doing too bad, buddy. Not doing too bad. Just at time of recording, I've broken up from my little Christmas break, been to a new bar near my house that is run by an extended family member. May have already had a couple of pints, so I'm very much feeling the Christmas spirit. How are you?
I'm good. You should have seen if you can get a sponsorship deal from this new venture.
Well, funnily enough, after speaking to the proprietor, he does have some Tartarus on the way to be sold in the bar, so we'll see how it goes.
Excellent. And if you want to drink Tartarus at home, you can log on to tartarusbeers.co.uk, put in the promo code UTTPODCAST15 and get 15% off.
Or if you're in York, get yourself over to Aiken and go to The Hand on Front Street.
Superb. Yeah. Looking forward to venturing into the latest Griffin family venture. How many times can you venture into a sentence?
I don't know. But it's extended family, so he's not a Griffin. In fact, I'm not entirely sure after a few pints what his last name is, but there we go.
You were going to say he didn't know what your name was then.
No, that's only after I've had an Aberdon or two.
Fair enough. Well, talking about Tartarus beers, I'm actually starting tonight on Lorelei, which is fruited Berliner Weiss. It's 4.3%. It's bloody lovely. I've given it 4.25 out of 5 on Untappd, and I think I might have been a little bit harsh.
It sounds that way, because it's very rare that Tartarus beers slip below 4.5. I have taken delivery today, at time of recording, of my latest Tartarus haul, but I need to get through a few in the fridge beforehand. So I am currently on Pumpkin Spice Stout from Glencannock Brewery that was bought for me for Christmas by Mackenzie, who's been on UTT proper. It's a Pumpkin Spice Stout. It's 4.5%, and I'm getting out of the way early because I know for a fact that I'm not a fan of pumpkin spice. But as far as these goes, it's not too bad. It's going to get probably a 2.5. It's middle of the road. Inoffensive, but...
Fair enough. Have you, in your latest Tartarus haul, got the baby Aberdon salted caramel?
No, because it wasn't on the eShop when I put it through.
I wonder why.
Well, who knows or dares to dream or have to repaint the kitchen?
Free coats of primer on already. I think I've got rid of the... covered up the beer stain before I can even start with the emulsion.
But if we get to that, or if people listening to this in beer order, next up after that, I've got a beer called Alternative Currency, which is by Verdant Brewing, and it's an East India Porter at 5.8%. It's a very limited run, and I purchased it from the aforementioned Hand Bar in York.
Excellent. You're forgetting where it is. This is brilliant.
No, it's because I was going to say, I got caught halfway between saying the aforementioned bar or From the Hand, and then my brain just farted and it all came out gibberish.
Excellent. Well, no change to usual then.
No. Not at all. Not at all.
Oh, superb. So normally we'd go through what was on the Radio Times and TV Times for the date that the event came from, but with this being a season review, that there's no fixed date of when that came out.
Yeah, it's a bit of an odd one, this, for Daddy Tory. We don't have anything to go through there, but we're going to give out some end-of-season awards, aren't we?
Yes, we are. So instead of to the Radio and TV Times, we're going to head over to the 30th of May 1977 edition of the Aberdeen Evening Express.
Oh, prestigious publication.
Exactly, and the reason is that there's an article about wrestling.
Of course.
Yeah, and it's entitled Problems Over Wrestling Bear. There's a bear due to wrestle at Elgin Town Hall on Thursday night, and basically the Moray District Council Committee are having some concerns over a bear wrestling Scottish heavyweight wrestling champion Andy Robbins.
I wonder why.
So the bear is a European bear standing just over 6 feet tall. He weighs 19 stone, and he's called Hercules.
All right. When you said, I was just thinking, hairy, 6 foot tall. This wasn't me, was it?
Apparently the event's been selling very well out of the excitement of seeing Hercules the wrestling bear, but I don't know if the council are going to let it go ahead. But yeah, that was wrestling getting into the papers.
What a time to be alive in Aberdeen, or Elgin.
Exactly. Well, it's a fair trek from Aberdeen to Elgin, but it made Aberdeen news.
Was he wrestling all comers on the way up?
Quite possibly. So while we're in the paper, we can flip on over to the job section for the Dan Does the Job section of the show.
Yay.
Now, the 1970s is an absolute minefield for employment law, so they didn't respect protected characteristics, so age, gender, if you're married, that kind of thing. So if Dan doesn't meet any of these, then he won't be able to get the job, even though, as we all know, Dan's qualified for any job that he might go for.
As far as anybody's aware, yes.
As far as anybody's aware. So the first job, just to say there's five jobs that Dan can pick from. Once he's moved on from one, he can't go back to another. And if he chooses a job, he can't then swap. So let's see.
What could go wrong?
Yeah, well, it's what do you always say? It's either going to be pay window or job centre.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know what I've said on previous episodes. Pay window or breadline or something. Bloodline or breadline or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Right. So, first job. References have to go to Bell Ingram's Chartered Surveyors, and they are looking for a stalker.
What have you heard?
They require a stalker with approximately 3 months' experience.
My lawyer said I'm not supposed to divulge that information.
Starting work in July at Aberystwyth Forest Lodge Estate. There's excellent wages and conditions of board provided.
So I'm getting paid to lurk in the bushes.
Well, potentially, if you want to go for that job.
I'm going to pass. I'm not the outdoorsy type.
Right, okay. So the next job is with Securicar. There's an opportunity. Is here to do an interesting, worthwhile job. Join Securicar and secure your future.
It's a strong tagline.
Yeah. They've got vacancies in the Aberdeen area, social service officers, and branch operational officers, and drivers, so that there's plenty of different things you can choose from. It comes with a free uniform, sick pay, and a pension scheme.
Okay.
Got to be of good character.
Yeah.
Oh, to be fair, it says good character for the driving position, so I guess you don't have to for the others. Yeah. So how do you fancy working for Securicar in one of those roles?
I'm not 100% sold. It was a good, strong tagline. I'm just... No, I'm going to take my chances and see what the next one has to bring.
Okie dokes. Well, Dave Dow of Staff College Street, Aberdeen, requires a dog skinner.
Oh.
And he pays £55. He doesn't say how often that is. He says it's short hours.
Is it only a small dog?
I don't know.
So it's £55 for like a Jack Russell. What if I have to do a Labrador?
I think this might be something to do with fishing, you know, or preparation of fish, like a fishmonger's type thing. But it doesn't sound like that.
Just on the off chance that it is actually skinning dogs, I'm going to decline.
Okay. Bar staff is wanted. Additional bar staff, in fact, working full or part-time in the bar and lounge at the Conservative Club.
Nope.
Right, so this is your final job. And again, it's a bit of a trek, given this is in Aberdeen, because this is for a gardener slash housework on an estate near Oban. So right, the other coast. Accommodation, a self-contained flat is provided. And, just have to... still, it's to that Bell Ingram as well that you have to apply. They want the same place that was wanting a stalker.
Ooh. I started to think I should have taken the stalker job. But one of my granddads is a keen gardener. The other one was actually a gardener. So it's in my blood. I will take the gardener's position. Not that I have much of a choice.
No, that was the only one that you had left. So we'll just go through the jobs. So this is the same employer that for the stalker. There were no requirements on the stalker. You could have had that job.
Good to know I am qualified to be a stalker.
The security car job, you needed to be aged between 23 and 50.
Okay.
And you needed to be no less than 5'6".
I would have qualified.
Would have qualified. You won't be surprised to learn there was no requirements for the dog skinner.
However, I'm guessing for the bar staff, they were probably looking for a woman. And I have to say, I clocked just out of the corner of my eye the pride in your face when, as soon as you said Conservative Club, I said no.
Well, there were no requirements there, so they weren't actually looking.
All right.
I think in Conservative Club in Scotland's grateful for what they can get, to be honest.
Nevertheless, no.
More like to see a dinosaur.
Luchasaurus, what are you doing in here?
And the gardener job in Oban, that was requiring someone who is married without children.
I can fake a wife.
Yeah, you get to get a gardening job in Oban.
I'll just take Mackenzie up to Scotland. She'll be fine with that. She's got family up there.
Excellent. We like that a lot. So before we go into the award section, do you have any giant hay facts?
No, because I completely forgot to do that.
Well, that is fine, because Graham at MGB Graham has sent us in via the 90s comedy show The Mary Whitehouse Experience a giant hay fact.
Our first guest hay fact.
Right, it's Correspondence Experience. Just a few more letters that have come in from listeners. Dear the Mary White Horse Experience, I know this contribution is a bit late, but I thought that you ought to know that I have a friend who used to be manager of a dry cleaners and once had to dry clean giant haystacks underwear. He said it was like trying to get chocolate sauce stains out of a marquee. Well, thank you, Johnny Simpson of Lecture.
I thought that was a little bit horrid, actually, that one.
Well, there you go.
I resemble that remark. Oh, that's brilliant. It's a giant haystack fact, a giant hay fact, and it's a poop joke. That is just my kind of thing all over.
Yeah, so thank you very much for that, Graham. That was very much appreciated.
Sorry, I just thought about it again.
Superb. So now we're going to give some awards for the 1975-1978 series. We are going to do a top 10 our best wrestlers. I did get Tack to send in his top 10 for that period of all the wrestlers that we've seen on the series. I think Tack may have voted with his outside knowledge of the period rather than just the final that we made him watch, in all fairness. But he's put a vote in there as well. So do you want to go through your top 10 and then we'll reveal what mine intact?
It's up to you, yeah. I didn't know if we were going to do the top 10 at the end and crown our sort of wrestler of the season, the overall, because we have got 7 other awards. Much like on UTT regular, we've got a match moment and the hair awards. But we're also giving awards for the best crowd, the best ref, and the best Kent Walton moment. So I think if we do those first, and then we'll go through the top tens, if that's all right with you, Rob.
Yeah, superb.
So which award would you like to start with? I was thinking of going with the best referee, because that's my weakest pick.
So my best referee, and we only saw him in the cup final, but former wrestler that we've seen actually wrestle during this period, I'm going for T-Bar Sislax, because I feel that we had a few weak performances from Max Ward, giving public warnings when he shouldn't have done. I think Brian Crabtree was a great shout for him pulling, jumping over and stopping the beard pull between Gwyn Davis and Giant Haystack.
Yeah, that was good.
But yeah, in terms of being an authoritative figure and doing a decent job of refereeing, I'm giving it to T-Bar.
That's absolutely fair. And if I'd have thought about it to that length, I would have probably come to the same conclusion. But I'm going to go with what I've written down, and I've given the best referee to Joe D'Orazio, because that was the only referee that I could remember sticking out in my head at that point. And that's probably more for his book of poetry than anything else. But from what I remember, it was a solid showing. But if I was being sensible, then it would have been probably T-Bar.
I think, to be fair, though, we've had decent performances from referees who used to be wrestlers. Mm. And I know Max Ward had been a wrestler, but certainly not on the level of a T-Bar Sislax or Emil Pivo or Joe D'Orazio that we've seen during this run.
Yeah, like I say, I really struggled at the time with the best referee, and sort of pulled the curtain back a little bit. We've been trying to get this episode recorded for a few weeks now with one thing and another, and I just didn't think to go back and double check my workings. But you know, that's me all over. That's why I suggest we get this out of the way and can move on to bigger and better things. Where would you like to go next, Rob?
Best crowd. What was your favourite crowd?
Ooh. So I'm going to go with an honourable mention first, and it was for the two blokes who tried to get in the ring during the Haystacks versus Kendo match.
Yeah, so that was Bradford.
Bradford.
Yeah.
Yeah, that very good. Just purely that was brilliant, but the best crowd for me was in our episode 5, the second match versus T-Bar Sakax and Steve Vidor, when the crowd were trying to help get Daddy out of the ring. That crowd was insane. They were hot for everything that was going on. And just the fact they were trying to pull him out of the ring.
Yeah, so I think that was the Croydon. No, it wasn't actually. It was Working, I think, was the pulling him out of the ring. Off the top of my head, we can double check that. Because I was actually going to go for the week before with the Croydon crowd for the first T-Bar.
They were very hot.
Yeah. Yeah, so it definitely was Working the second week. The thing I thought about the Working crowd was that they were kind of a bit sort of sitting on the hands, and then they flipped and wanted to kill Daddy. And it was like, you didn't get about this level of consistency. You got it was like 0 to 100 and no like rising between.
Yeah, just a casual then rah. Yeah, one of the things we've been blessed throughout this whole first season with crowds that wrestlers today would kill for.
Mm.
So invested, so passionate, so vocal. It's an absolute joy. I've not seen a granny stabbing anybody yet, though. That's been my only disappointment.
No, but, I mean, Aylesbury was a good crowd as well with the John Eliza match.
Yeah, that was very good.
Yeah, so there's been a few good crowds that we've had.
Yeah, and to be fair, I can't think of any poor crowd, really.
Well, as I say, the first half of the working crowd before they...
Well, yeah, but at least they came up to everything. You know, we don't know what they'd seen before that and you know, if they were burnt out or if it was a long day or anything like that.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. So what's the next award?
I think we have to go for the best Kent Walton moment. I can give mine first if you want, or do you want to go first?
You go first.
All right. An honourable mention from the Sakax and Vidor 2, you know, the second tag team match, was Kent Walton just pointing out that Big Daddy's got a bit bigger. And from the Haystacks versus Gwyn Davis match, when he just shits on the product and saying, not too many scientific wrestling holes in this one. But mine is in the Big Daddy versus John Elijah match. I wish we could see some more wrestling from Big Daddy rather than the attempts he normally makes.
Well, it's funny because I've gone for the same match, the Big Daddy John Elijah, and I've gone for, at this time of year, I normally think about saying a posting just in time for Christmas, but I couldn't possibly say that.
it's so full of shit as Ken Walton, but it's so entertaining, it doesn't matter.
It wasn't on World of Sport, so I don't think it can count. But I also think his article in the Radio Times where he's saying wrestling needs to get back to the middleweight is the only way it'll be popular again.
Yeah, he barely contained his disdain for the heavyweights, did he?
No.
For Daddy and Haystacks.
He didn't, but also he was very wrong.
Yeah, absolutely, completely, unequivocally wrong. Well, at least we've got the same match, if not the same line.
Well, it just goes to show how many Kent Waltonisms there are out there.
Well, it does. I'm going to go out on a limb and presume that, as is tradition with UTT, we're going to save the Hair Awards for last.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, so shall we go for Moment of the Season?
Yeah. So my Moment of the Season was Big Daddy briefly unmasking Kendo.
All right, yeah. That was fantastic. I've got that in my honourable mentions because it was a real, oh my God, is he going to do it? Is he going to do it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, there's loads of stuff. Like John Elijah lifting Big Daddy was another highlight. A Kendo being thrown out of the ring and crawling across it and accidentally ringing the bell.
I'd forgotten about that. It's funny you say that, though. Your two things there saying about Daddy trying nearly unmasking Kendo and John Elijah just sort of throwing Daddy about, they're both on my honourable mentions. My third honourable mention is the belly bounce super collider finish.
Yeah.
That Daddy and Haystacks were practicing in the corner. Just absolutely hysterical. But my moment of the season comes from... second to last episode, and it was the Kendo unmasking.
Yeah.
It doesn't involve Daddy or Haystacks, but that whole thing with Kendo, the ceremony, nobody can beat him, so he's unmasking himself. That, even all these years later, just felt like an absolute moment.
Yeah, it was a big moment, and you know, it was spectacle, and you know, as it was said at the time, 14 million viewers, you can't really complain.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what it had to get for me. It was unparalleled, really. But just thinking about it now, I think my runner up would have to be John Elijah throwing Big Daddy about, because I just never expected to see that.
No, it came as a bit of a shock, but a welcome shock.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would leave the best match, I believe.
Yeah. Now I'm torn on this one, so. I'm going to cheat. I'm going to take from the Mags Chain Wrestling playbook. And I'm going to give two matches, but there's going to be a caveat. It's going to be the best match involving Big Daddy or Haystacks, and the best match that didn't involve them. The best match that didn't involve either of them was Jim Briggs versus Steve Gray. because we waxed lyrical about that with Tack, and I don't think I need to say any more on it. It was just incredible.
Yeah, so that's the same. It's the same that I've done. I put that, and then I put a bracket for one that involved Daddy or Hey. You know, as we said at the time, I mean, you know, obviously there's sort of this cloud over Jim Breaks with the allegations, but he was one of the best wrestlers in the world, and 1978, we are seeing prime Jim Breaks.
Yeah, and it's one of those, we said at the time, you have to separate the man from the wrestler.
Yeah.
And as a wrestler, at that point, he's just so far ahead of his time.
Yeah.
Just absolutely incredible. That Jim Breaks, Steve Gray match, you could throw on any modern show and it would not look out of place.
No. No, it'd be the match of the night. It'd be the match of the month, the match, you know.
If I might put it in the Tokyo Dome, Dave Meltzer had just come in his pants until he'd lost all the hydration.
Yeah.
He'd reassign bodily fluids. But as far as matches go involving either Big Daddy or Giant Haystacks, for me it is Big Daddy versus John Elijah.
Yeah, the group thinks in full force here.
Yeah. The UTT hive mind. Yeah, and it's just because it was the match where Big Daddy looked, it was one of the matches where Big Daddy looked the most vulnerable. Just the sheer power of Elijah, the amount he gave Elijah. It just went to show what Daddy could do, given the right opponent, and possibly when he could be asked, or when the moment was right.
And yeah, we're talking about seeing Daddy vulnerable because we saw him lose to Kendo, which, you know, everybody loses to Kendo. But with the Kendo matches, Daddy got most of the offense in, and then he just got beaten because Kendo was better than him, you know. So you quite often, it's a very sort of WWE Raw match that we got there. Whereas the John Elijah match, I wouldn't have thought that anyone would have expected backstage Daddy to give as much to John Elijah as he did.
No, it was a bit more of an underdog thing with Elijah because Kendo's Kendo.
Yeah,
nobody fucks with Kendo. He, you know, he always wins, or if he doesn't win, there's a caveat to it, and you know. But for John Elijah to be as competitive as he was, it had the air of a breakout match for Elijah, if you like. And then this is just from me not knowing anything about what was going on at the time or anything like that. It felt like an enormous thing for Elijah to be getting as much as he was getting.
Yeah, he did. It really did. It felt, you know, and especially it's the first time we see Daddy full out face.
Yeah.
Role.
Yeah, and it's one of those where we've put forward the same two options, but both of those matches are really good for very different reasons. And as we've said on UTT from day one, wrestling's a buffet. Well, you don't get any more buffet than going from Jim Breaks versus Steve Gray to Big Daddy versus John Elijah.
No. Well, and I think the 78 Cup final was a perfect example of a buffet because
Yeah,
everything on it in three matches, basically.
Yeah, he did. It was a fantastic show, that. And, it was, again, a pleasure to speak to Tack about it. I mentioned on Twitter earlier today, I could listen to you and Tack just talk about it all day. I'd quite happily just take a back seat and just be in the virtual studio.
Yeah, you might have to the next time we get him on.
That's fine. I just won't plug my mic in and just go for it. So down to big business. We're into the haircuts. So what is normally called the Tori Wilson Award on UTT for the best haircut of the season. Who gets yours, Rob?
It's got to be Kung Fu. I mean, that man looked like he just stepped out of a salon.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, he looked like Vic Faulkner did in 1970. Yeah. You know, eight years on, Faulkner starts to lose his hair, but Kung Fu's stepped right up there.
Carrying on the legacy.
Yeah.
Kung Faulkner. I've gone a very different direction because I felt like this man deserved to have an award on this show, And because he had he just has a glorious, dominating, intimidating, absolute mane of hair. I've given mine to Giant Haystacks.
Yeah. Yeah, good call there. And he definitely had it bouffanted up for the cup final. Oh, sometimes yeah. He came looking a bit straggly, but pulled all stops out for the cup final.
He'd had a shower and got a hairdryer on it.
Yeah.
Maybe even a touch of backcombing.
Yeah, I think he was a bit backcombed. Yeah.
Also, I've realised I had a page up for quite a long time on my Chrome browser, just whenever I opened it up. It'd be about Giant Haystacks, and without fail, every time I opened up, it'd scare the shit out of me. So I'd just see this giant mass of aggressive hair looking at me.
Excellent.
But I always forgot it was there. So yeah, it's Giant Haystacks. The big award of the night, the Rene Goulet Award for Outstanding Haircut of the Season, as in most unique, most interesting, what have you.
Yeah,
I think we might be, sorry, I was just pausing for dramatic effect, but I think we might be on the same page with this.
Well, I mean, we've mentioned his hair a lot in different podcasts that we've done. I mean, it's been flown in from Denmark. It's been clicked into place. It's Mick McManus and his Lego hair.
Nope.
Oh.
No. Oh, dear me. Got that completely wrong. I mean, you are right. Mick McManus and his Lego hair is incredible, and I'm tempted to change my answer. But I'm not going to, because the most unique haircut, Mick McManus just applies a lot of plastic and grease. But the actual most unique haircut of the whole series is Kendo Nagasaki's.
Yes.
And his acolytes.
Yeah, it's definitely unique, isn't it?
That ponytail at the back, and it I wouldn't say this to his face, but it looked fucking awful. Do what you need to do for the gimmick, but it did look good.
It might have been receding at the front, and it thought, shave the front half of my head. Make it look like I've done it on purpose.
I'm going to start shaving my forehead in York, and I'm going to finish at Leeds.
Yeah.
Oh, right. I thought for sure Kendo would get the Rene Goulet, but there we go. We don't agree all the time.
Yeah, he's up against literally stiff competition with Miss McManus's hair.
I wonder if you reckon McManus's hair would take to biodegrade.
It won't.
The world will end, the planet will crack.
Yeah.
The pieces will scatter to the winds of the universe, and all that will be left is one tiny little fragment.
Mick McManus's hair, yeah. Glorious, glorious.
The only thing denser than a black hole.
So now we're left with the top tens. Now, I've got my top 10, obviously. Tax sent me his. So my 10th place was Kung Fu.
Okay.
Decent hand in the ring. Yeah, a decent showing on the cup final. And Tax's 10th place was Steve Gray. Excellent showing.
Wow.
Cup final, so
Steve Gray down in 10th.
But as I say, I think Tax rated this as you know, the period rather, you know, the 3 years rather than just that show.
Fair enough. So my 10th is basically there because he's in the name of the podcast, and Kung Fu was my number 11, but my 10th is Giant Haystacks.
Oh, very low down for Giant Haystacks.
Well, I've gone by literally how good they were in the ring. And I know Kung Fu should be higher than him, but Haystacks is in the name of the thing. He was a massive star and all the rest of it. So he had to go in there somewhere, but I couldn't put him higher than 10.
Yeah. Superb. So my 9th place is Steve Vedo. Again, you know, decent showing in the two tag matches that we had. So no, you know, nothing wrong with that. Tax number 9 is Jim Briggs.
Wow. That is very low down. I should say as well, I should have said this before we started, I've literally only included wrestlers that we have seen in the course of the podcast.
Yes, so is Tax. Yeah. It's not. I mean, all right, I'm not going to spring cat weasel and stuff on you.
So my number 9 is Gwyn Davis.
Gwyn Davis, excellent choice. Yeah.
Very much enjoyed his, the match that we saw with him, but, well, it'll become abundantly clear why the rest are above him. He just, at least he featured in the top 10.
Yeah, and to be fair, the problem with that Gwyn Davis match was it was in the boob smother, or whatever we're calling. So, yeah, he didn't make either mine or Tack's top 10.
Well, I'm happy to represent Gwyn Davis, because I think even though he did spend most of the time suffocating in titties, and I know there was more to be seen of him, and I know he's better than that.
Superb. So my number 8 was Steve Gray. Again, decent performance against Jim Breaks. Battlefield Jim Breaks was the star of the match.
Yep, understandable.
Yeah, and Tack's gone with Kung Fu.
Fair enough. My number 8 is John Elijah. Looking at it now, I feel I maybe could have put him a little bit higher. But again, I've got reasonings as to why he's down in 8.
Yeah.
I couldn't in good conscience put him any higher.
No, that's fine. So my number 7 and Tack's number 7, we've got the same one for this, is T-Bar Sisax.
Yep, that's fair enough.
I've gone higher than Vidor because he's got the reffing appearances as well.
Yeah, that's absolutely fair enough. It's funny this because obviously we do these wrap-ups every season on the Doctor Who pod, so it's always dead interesting to me to see where we put them all. This is definitely the most spread out I've seen anything so far, because my number 7 is Steve Gray.
Right.
As you said, Jim Breaks was the star of that match. And the next, well, just the ones above him, I'll get to the reasoning. I'll spoil it otherwise.
Yep, superb. So, my number 6 is clicks on his Lego haircut. It's Mick McManus. And Tack's number 6 is in the name of the podcast. It's Big Daddy.
Oh, Big Daddy down in 6.
Yeah.
Well, it's 3 different ones because mine's Steve Vidor. Thoroughly enjoyed both tag matches that we saw from Sakax and Vidor. Vidor had great sort of baby face fire. Yeah, I'd very much like to see more of him.
Yeah, good stuff. Excellent. So my number 5 is in the name of the podcast. It's Giant Haystacks.
Oh, wow. Very high spot for Haystacks. I can see why. You know, with the star power and the spectacle of the man and everything else. So, yeah, that's completely understandable.
Tack has put Bruiser Muir at number 5.
I don't even remember him.
So he was in the tag match with Haystacks and against Daddy and Tony St. Clair.
Yes, now I remember. Yeah. Yep. Sorry, that took me a second. My number 5 is T-Bar Sakax. Again, for those 2 tag matches, Steve Vidor had great babyface fire, but T-Bar took such an ass kick in it and was just looked incredibly strong when he did finally go on offense. And he had the refereeing performance as well. So T-Bar gets 5 for me.
And the Sasak special chop.
Exactly.
Yep. So my number 4 is John Elijah.
Yep.
Great performance against Big Daddy, as we've said. We nominated it for the best daddy match of the series. Yeah. Now, again, this is over the review period because we didn't see very much of him in the show, but Tack has gone for Tony St. Clair at number 4.
Fair. Given seeing his match against Matt Acciono on UTT proper. It was Wrestler, wasn't it, that was in?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, I can completely believe that Tony St. Clair had a fantastic 3 years.
Yeah.
We're going 3 different ones again, because my number 4 is quite simply one of the best heels to ever heel, and it's Mick McManus.
Excellent. Love a bit of McManus.
Yeah, can't really say fairer than that, can I?
Yeah, I mean, I've rated these on the matches that we've seen, rather than his career, but
but he was even then he was still great in the match that
he was really good. He was really good. Right, so we're getting into the high numbers now. So my number 3 is Jim Breaks. Excellent performance.
We finally, sorry to cut in, we finally agree, Rob. My number three is Jim Breaks as well, because that match versus Steve Gray, my God. I know we've waxed lyrical about it, but Jesus.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. Tax put him at 9, but never mind.
A stock tax wrong twice a day.
At number three, tack put Kendo Nagasaki.
Seems low.
Seems low for Kendo. At number two, his name's in the podcast, it's Big Daddy. For me.
At number two?
Yeah.
It's for me. His name's in the podcast. It's Big Daddy.
Yeah, so,
but with the caveat, when he can be asked.
When he can be asked. Excellent. Tack has gone for Mick McManus. Yeah, one of the greatest wrestlers of the world sport era. So yeah, and obviously if you're doing it over the review period as well.
Absolutely.
Else to add on top of that. So I am guessing that, I'll just say Tack's number one is Giant Haystacks.
Really?
Well, heel's got a heel, haven't they? You know,
well, they have.
I mean,
he's
an absolute character. I mean, you know.
The disqualification machine.
Disqualification machine, yeah. So I'm guessing your number one is the same as my number one, and it is King Kendo Nagasaki.
It is King Kendo Nagasaki. It had to be. Because Kendo just combined he just had the presence and the spectacle and the in-ring ability. He had just everything years before Big Daddy put it together. You know, it was just so very, very good.
He was, and you feel like Kendo was the whole package, and he definitely sort of, you know, got the sports entertainment element of wrestling. And as well, with Gorgeous George Gillette, you know, it's an added bonus. The fact that he's undefeated, the fact that he's got this mysticism behind him, he's not just a, you know, trunks and boots wrestler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Way ahead of his time, and more than deserving of the top slot.
Yeah.
Unless you tack.
So, combining all the results, in 10th place is Tony St. Clair.
Yep.
In 9th place is Steve Vidor.
Mm-hmm.
8th place is Steve Gray.
Yeah.
7th place is John Elijah.
Yep.
6th place is T-Bar Sisax.
Mm-hmm.
5th place is Giant Haystacks.
Yeah.
4th place is Mick McManus.
Seems a bit low for Mick, but yeah.
3rd place is Jim Breaks.
Yeah, that's exactly where I put him, yeah. I don't know why I'm oofing at that.
2nd place is Big Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And 1st place is Kendo Nagasaki.
So I've got the top three right.
Yeah. I mean, it's that whole thing that McManus looks low, but then when you consider the top three, it's like...
Yeah. And I think that's absolutely fair. And I'm going to think that because it matched mine exactly. But what do you think about that top three?
The first three matched. I really liked McManus. I thought it was great. I maybe was a bit over-egging the cake with John Elijah, but it did feel like a big breakout moment for him, whereas McManus was on the back nine of his career sort of thing. So there's elements of that in my voting, if that makes sense.
It does. No, and there was an element of reputation in me putting McManus so high. Because I really did enjoy John Elijah. On another day when I was putting these together, I could have easily put Elijah as high as fifth or fourth.
Yeah. 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 He had a good showing. He really did.
Yeah, he did. But yeah, great season. I can't wait to do this for the next year.
Yeah, I'm not totally surprised by the combined top 10, to be fair.
No.
Yeah, I think. I don't think it really is a knock on anybody because everyone in that top 10 is great.
Yeah, and this is the thing. We're doing a top 10 of who we've seen on the series, on the season. It's the top 10 we like the most because we've not seen any bad performances.
No.
You know, we can't put, like, was it Rex Strong who was in a minute and 30 compilation?
Yeah, you just can't vote for him because you didn't see him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But what I did see of him looked decent.
Oh, yeah, and like Kong Fu and Gwyn Davis have missed out. As you say, Bruiser Murray we didn't see much of in that match. And then, you know, the Kong Fu and Gwyn Davis could easily have made a top 10.
Kung Fu could have easily gone in over Gwyn Davis. He could have easily gone in over Giant A-Stacks for me. I could have gone with Tax. You know, if I'd have gone with a different school of thinking, A-Stacks might have been higher. Yeah. Gwyn Davis might have dropped out. It's a lot of it boils down to how you feel at the time you write the notes.
Yeah,
very much enjoyed my my first season of educating myself and delving into Daddy and Haystacks. Much, much better wrestling than I ever expected to see from Daddy in a lot of instances.
and much what you expected to see from Haystacks.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. But that doesn't mean it's bad, you know, it doesn't mean it's bad. He played a part and he had a style that he had to do, you know, with various physical limitations and all the rest of it. And the fact that a lot of punters will look at him and see this big, fucking scary beast of a man.
Yeah.
And then he goes and does something shithousey and gets disqualified. And that just whips the crowd into a frenzy.
Yeah.
You know, it absolutely works.
Yeah. Big character. So... yeah, we will be moving on. We'll have a bit of a break from Big Daddy and Giant Haystacks and get back to a bit more of the AEW roster playing games backstage to compete over the BTE Championship.
Yeah, I need to get back to my real job rather than these 70s ones.
Yeah. we will be back with the road to the Dale Martin Spectacular 1979. Coming up. So we'll go to the FA Cup final and then we'll be at Wembley Arena as well in the same year.
Yeah, very excited for that. And just wanted to say thank you to everyone who's had kind words to say online, you know, vast majority on Twitter, you know, enjoying this show and everything that we've sort of put together. I think it's fair to say, Rob, we thought this was going to be a passion project and maybe a bit of a gamble as far as listenership goes. I mean, as a podcast anyway, we don't really give a toss about the numbers. We want to talk about stuff that we enjoy. But to see so many people sort of getting on board and being nostalgic for this era as I'm watching it for the first time, it's been wonderful. And I can't wait to have you all along, hopefully for Unputting the Territory Season 2, but certainly when we're back on the road to Wembley as well.
Yeah, indeed. You know, we're not just stuck in the 70s. We can get ourselves up into the 2020s.
kicking and screaming.
But we won't be watching any wrestling. We'll be watching beer pong. But no, it's, you know, everyone that's listened, commented, you know, shared the podcast. Thank you very much. It does mean a lot. You know, and yeah, if people want to send in giant hair facts, we're all over that. Sterling work by Graham there.
That was fantastic. I love that. Yeah. But the problem was when I started doing the giant hair facts, I thought, oh, this will be great. I'll be able to find loads. And turns out not too many.
Yeah. This is one of the things, you know, if the internet had been around in the 70s, we'd have a lot more of this better recorded.
It's true. And we'd have a lot more footage around as well. But alas, here we are. But we're making do with what we have in it, and what we have is marvellous.
It is indeed. So, talking about things that are marvellous, where can people find you, Dan?
I'm on the aforementioned Twitter, at DanGriffin21, usually tweeting about wrestling that's a minimum 6 weeks out of date, or movies that are 25 years out of date. If you want to hear more of me talking about stuff, head over to SJP World Media, where I'm on the Doctor Who pod with Si Pal, talking about, funnily enough, Doctor Who. One episode or serial per Doctor per series. And I'm also on the volley with my strike partners, the magnificent Matt Lewis and Connor from Con Knows Footy, providing alternative commentary for mostly Premier League games, but have recently branched out into the MLS when Columbus Crew won the MLS Cup. And we've got many irons in the fire, a few things happening behind the scenes, so we'll have to see where we go later in the season.
Excellent. People should really get involved in that. There's a lot of good stuff there. So you can listen to the main show at UTT Podcast. Gone through the first and last of wrestling, so debuts, finales, that kind of thing. Season 1, we went through the highest and lowest. rated episodes of the Monday Night Wars for each creative period. Also, we have the One Man's Meat guys on there, Danny Scott Struggle and the real Chris Bellis, and they went through forgotten storylines of wrestling, Wrestlers of Mana, get them much love, that kind of thing, and had a side project on Wrestle Society X and Wrestle Society Extra. So there's loads of stuff in the back catalogue that you can go and get involved with that's really fun and entertaining, well-researched.
I'm going to give a shout-out, as I often do, to their side project Disgusting Awful, which is a podcast all about horror movies. Quite literally, Danny and Chris go into such depth and such detail that they have put information out that I didn't know, having watched a documentary on the film they were talking about produced by Netflix. This is the level we're talking about. Those guys are incredible and do a great job.
They do indeed. They do indeed. So, yeah, give them a chance. You'll love their content. We've had a couple of side projects ourselves, aside from this. So we've had On Booking the Tankatory, where we followed the life and times of legitimately the hardest man that ever lived, one, David Tank Abbott. And we've still got the Twitter alive for that, at UTT Tank. And if you head over there, you can get some hashtag tank facts.
Because we refuse to let them die.
Such as, every coin and banknote in circulation has at some point been in Tank Abbott's possession.
And the funny thing about that is, it is little known fact that in every single country, if the currency hasn't passed through Tank Abbott's hands, it's actually considered forgery.
Yeah, that's how you know it's real.
Mm.
There was a meme going around Twitter, the Who Are You? And it shows a picture of someone several years ago. I'm you, but stronger, and it shows them now.
Hmm.
This can't be done for Tank Abbott, because there is no weaker version of Tank Abbott.
Yeah, this is true. He was born with that knockout power.
And if you manage to spell out Tank Abbott during a game of Scrabble, you instantly win the game.
And the four after that as well.
Yeah, it's just a fact. Just how the game's designed.
Right there in the rules in the small print.
Yeah. So we've mentioned Steve Vidor on this show. We've mentioned Mick McManus. We've mentioned T-Bar Sisax. And they were involved in a wrestling supergroup called The Gladiators, who released a single, which we've already played out on the end of one of these shows. If it's Mick McManus, Steve Logan, Adrian Street, Johnny Quango, T-Bar Sisax, Big Bruno Erlington, Bobby Barron, Mike Marino, Steve Vidor, Shane Regan, and Spencer Churchill. So we'll go to the B-side of that single, and we'll listen to When We All Go in the Ring.
When they say go in the ring, what do they mean, wrestle or have an accident?
Well, basically, they've just changed the lyrics to the When the Saints Go Marching In, so...
Okay, I was just trying to make a poop joke. Anyway, enjoy the music.
Thank you for listening.
And at the end of every fight, we always end.